his left. Tough shot. Made it. End of the line.
Bad pass. Tipped away and Indiana's got it. Up the floor to Oladipo. He will lay up. Score!
Jones. Watford for the win.
Yes! Yes!
It's Indiana. It's Indiana.
Welcome back to Podcast on the Brink. I'm your host, Jared Morris. Podcast on the Brink is brought to you by Inside the Hall, your most complete source for up-to-the-minute news on Indiana basketball. From post-game videos of Tom Crean and IU players posted in near real time, to recruiting updates, to the premium discussion forum, Inside the Hall has it all for the IU fan. And Podcast on the Brink is also brought to you by The Assembly Call, the only IU basketball postgame show that goes live online as soon as every IU basketball game ends. Bookmark the URL assemblycall.com/live and join us after any IU game for immediate fan reaction and expert analysis. On Saturday, Indiana faces Butler in the Crossroads Classic. The two teams met in this event 2 years ago when Indiana was ranked number one in the country and, well, we don't really need to talk about what happened that afternoon. The stakes are different this time around, but no less important. Butler is 8-2, the 36th ranked team according to KenPom, and a team that, no surprise, prides itself on toughness and strong defense. Indiana is number 51, with one of the best offenses in the country, but a defense that is sometimes merely a rumor. The Hoosiers have wins over SMU and Pittsburgh, but need another solid non-conference win or two to feel good about their NCAA tournament position heading into Big Ten play. Butler already has two solid resume wins over North Carolina and Georgetown, but the Bulldogs always relish the chance to stick it to the big storied school from down south. What will happen on Saturday? Certainly it will be a contrast of styles, and we brought in Michael Pointer, the Butler insider for the Indianapolis Star, to preview Saturday's game. Here is my interview with Michael Pointer, now on Podcast on the Brink. Michael, thank you very much for joining me today. How are you?
You're good. My pleasure. Glad to do it.
So, you know, Butler's obviously coming off a tough loss against Tennessee leading into this game with Indiana. What is kind of the state of Butler right now? I mean, obviously they've, you know, had some coaching, you know, kind of turmoil, have a new coach, and some of the faces are new. Some are obviously familiar with Roosevelt Jones and Austin Etherington, guys that Indiana fans will recognize. But, you know, before we get into the specifics of this game, what's kind of the overall state of the Butler program right now?
Well, you're right. The second half, in particular, in the Tennessee game was pretty disappointing. I don't think there's any way to sugarcoat that, just kind of the way Butler collapsed a little bit down the stretch. But overall, when you look at 8-2 and considering, some of the things that went on just before the start of preseason practice, you know, you lose your coach and you gotta bring in up an assistant up to be an interim. And then you throw in the fact that Butler, you know, was coming off of a tough season last year. It's first in the Big East, and the fact that the non-conference schedule has been pretty good, you know, overall. They've played some good teams. They played in that battle for Atlantis, which if it's not the best, November, December tournament, is certainly very close to it. I think when you look at the big picture, it's been about as good a start as you could hope. I mean, I know if you'd have told me at this point that Butler would be 8-2, and I think if you'd have told Chris Holdman at this point that Butler would have been 8-2, he would have said, "I'll take that in a second." And stuff. So I do think from that standpoint, it's good. But certainly there were some disturbing things in that Tennessee game, and you know that we'll talk about here in a bit. But it's But overall, I'd say it's very, very much, Butler's on the upswing, I guess is probably a good way to put it.
Yeah, and it's not a fluffy 8-2. I mean, obviously they've beaten some teams in the sub-200s and 300s, but, you know, it includes a win over 16th-ranked Carolina. I'm using Ken Pom's numbers here. Carolina, they beat Georgetown, another team in the top 25 of Ken Pomeroy's rankings, with the losses coming to 14th-ranked Oklahoma and that Tennessee game. So, you know, my question about the Tennessee game is this, because I read your column about how Butler got out-toughed in the loss to Tennessee. And that, you know, that word out-toughed is not one that we often associate with Butler. You know, they are known for, you know, playing tough physical basketball, and they're usually the ones out-toughing other teams. And so my question from an IU fan's perspective is, you know, is that a good sign for Indiana that Butler can be out tough, or is it a bad omen because we know that they'll come back ready to play a tougher brand of basketball on Saturday?
I don't know whether to read much into that for this game or not, because I think Bowen would be ready to play for this game no matter what. And also, even though they use that word a lot after the game, you know, some of the players did and Chris Holtman did, I do wonder if in hindsight they got out tough so much. I think probably a better way to describe it was they lost their composure a little bit, which, again, is not – it's pretty uncommon with Butler. Roosevelt Jones, who is their best player in my opinion, you know, got caught up in some trash talking with a technical foul, and I think he lost some of his focus. And you know, usually he's a pretty good lockdown defender, and the guy he was guarding went off for 18 points in the second half. I think they got caught up in some things like that. Didn't respond well to playing a true road game. So in hindsight, I don't know if how tough is the right word, but I do think they lost their focus in that game a little bit because Tennessee was not only scoring in transition, which was kind of expected, but they were also scoring when Butler had a chance to set up an attack court defense. And that's not supposed to happen that much. That's where Butler is really, really supposed to excel. So I do think that they did lose their composure a little bit. What it means for this game, I'm really not sure if it means anything. You know, it was 6 days ago. This is a game that's obviously a very emotional game for Butler. Even with the success the program has had the last few years, I think you could seriously make a case that it's been the best program in the state during that period. There's always going to be a lot of emotion when you play IU because of its history. What the program stands for, you know, things of that nature. So I really can't read much into that. I think Butler's going to be ready to play on Saturday. I expect Indiana to be ready to play on Saturday too. I don't think there's much to read into what's happened in the last game.
Yeah, I do too. I think both teams would be ready to play. You know, you tweeted out, actually, I don't know if it was earlier today or yesterday, that, you know, Butler is 9-2 all time at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, and they are 3-0 in the Crossroads Classic, the only remaining undefeated team.
Yeah.
Obviously, remember the big victory they had over Indiana a couple years ago. Do you think they take these games more seriously at all? Do you think they come in with more of a chip on their shoulder because, you know, they're kind of Butler playing the, you know, three schools that are kind of bigger and have been more well-known? Do you think that plays into it at all, their success in this, you know, event?
Well, I think there might be some of that. I don't think you can totally discount that. I think, and I think that was certainly the case in the game 2 years ago, because I think that was the one time you could say Indiana had the better team. You look at the talent that Butler had a good team that year. Indiana, I think, had an outstanding team that year. I don't think there's any, you know, there's no question about that. So I think that's maybe a small factor, but I think you got to give Butler a little bit of credit too, with the fact that they put some pretty good teams out there as well. Mm-hmm. And another thing to keep in mind, even though they are 3-0, all three of the games they won could have won either way. They could very easily be 0-3. You know, the Indiana game, you know, 2 years ago is obvious. I mean, I'm sure most of the people listening to this probably feel like you should have won that game. It should have never went to overtime. I know the first year in the classic, they came from double digits down to beat Purdue. And I know Purdue after that game felt like they shouldn't have lost that game. So it's not like they've blown people away. So while they did win the game, and that's the most important thing, I think that 3-0 is a little bit misleading. But I think it's part of what you said. I think it's contributed some of Butler's success in general. They relished that role of being kind of a little guy on the block. I mean, even in the Big East, you know, they're a little guy on the block. In terms of budget, you know, they've got the smallest budget in the Big East and stuff. So I think they relished that in general a little bit. I think it's contributed to their success. But I think at the same time, they've had some pretty good players too as well. So I think sometimes that gets overlooked with Butler is that, you know, it's not like they've put five stiffs out there and who just happened to overachieve. They've had some players during this run they've had the last few years as well.
Yeah. No, you're right. You know, and they've sent guys to the NBA. I think you're right. People have kind of underrated their talent. You know, before we get to talking about this specific matchup, because it's fascinating in the contrast of styles, you know, one kind of follow-up question on this success Butler's had in the Crossroads Classic and even against Indiana. I mean, they've won four of the last five over Indiana, another tweet that you sent out. Do you think that has any impact at all on recruiting in-state? You know, just that, you know, Butler winning in this event, them being able to beat Indiana, does that have any impact, or does that kind of get overrated by people sometimes?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm not sure I've got a good answer for you on that. Because Butler has, they are in on, they're getting in on better players, I think, all the time. You know, they a lot of people thought they were going to get Trayvon Blewett, who's now down at Xavier, who was certainly one of the best players in the state last year. This is kind of forgotten now, but they were one of the three finalists for Cody Zeller and stuff a few years ago. We all know where he went, and he worked out pretty well for IU. But they're in the running for a lot of those elite players, but they have not been able to close the door or seal the deal, I guess you could say, on many of them. I guess that goes for all the schools in the state a little bit. I think all the schools have struggled with that a little bit. So I do think they're in the running and stuff, but they're still relying on a lot of players that were not, you know, I wouldn't say they were lightly recruited, but I think it's fair to say they were not elite recruits. Roosevelt Jones was not an elite recruit. You know, they, you know, Cameron Woods had got a couple offers late, but he was not an elite recruit. Alex Barlow didn't get a Division I offer at all. It was a walk-on. We hit that shot against IU 2 years ago. So they are getting, I think they are starting to get better players, but they're not necessarily getting them from Indiana. Like Keelan Martin, the freshman, who's done a really nice job for him off the bench this year. He's from Louisville. Now, there is a caveat there. He did play for the Indiana Elite AAU program, so he was very familiar with this side of the river and stuff, but he played high school basketball at Louisville. So some of the good players are getting are still coming from out of state, which I think is kind of, and it's kind of proven true at all the state schools lately, it seems like, and stuff. That's a really good question, and I'm not sure I really have a good answer to it. I think it's helped them a little bit, but not, again, maybe not as much as you might think.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this game. Again, a complete contrast in styles. You have Indiana with its high-octane offense, you know, a top 10, top 5 offense in the country, depending on where you look statistically. But defensively, you know, atrocious. It may not be overstating, you know, how poor the defense has been at times. Butler, on the other hand, very, very strong defensive team, probably one of the top 10 defensive teams in the country, but offensively has struggled, probably a sub-100 offense. So when you look at this, you know, how do you see a game like this playing out? Where obviously Indiana wants to get out and run, push the pace, and really is going to need to score to win, where Butler's going to try and slow it down and play a much more methodical style.
Yeah, I think you just made a great point, and if I could elaborate on that, you know, I'm kind of an old boxing fan. I'm old-fashioned in that regard. I like boxing, and the old saying in boxing is contrasting styles make for great fights. And I think there's some truth for that in basketball as well, because I do agree with you. Total contrast, I think, going into this game. And not to oversimplify it, but I think whatever team can get the game in their style to play the most is probably going to win the game. I think they're pretty evenly matched going in. And I tell you what, I have not seen IU obviously as much as you have, Garrett, but I've watched them. I have really enjoyed watching them play because of the way they do play and stuff. The way they get up and down the floor, the way they can shoot, I really enjoy watching that. But I'd be less than honest with you if sometimes I'd say somebody could play some interior defense as well or something like that. So, but I really do enjoy watching them play and stuff. But I really do think that kind of, not to oversimplify it too much, but I think the team that gets kind of it in their style is going to win. The thing with Butler is, and Chris Holtman has used this expression, they kind of want to make you feel like the game's in a phone booth. You know, they want to feel like it's in a constricted space. Obviously, a half-court game plays into their strengths. They're very good defensively in the half-court. They're good defensively, period, but they're very good in the half-court. They've got guys can shoot to three pretty well. You know, Alex Barlow, I mentioned, is a decent three-point shooter, but Kellen Dunn's a very good three-point shooter. And another thing about Butler, another reason that they're best suited in the half court is their big guys are not guys that generally are good on the break. Cameron Wood's a very good defensive player, but he's not a guy that's going to necessarily score on the break. He's not going to anything outside of a 2-foot jumper. It's kind of an adventure, you know, and stuff. So I do think that style definitely favors Butler. If Butler can get it into that kind of game and the way they play defense, and I think that's where they have an edge over Indiana, I think it certainly favors them. But if the game gets up into the 80s, which is certainly possible with IU, and they can get the transition going a little bit. And another thing the transition does is we talk about the half-court defense. Roosevelt Jones is a terrific defender, one of the best defenders in the country. I really do believe that if you get Butler in transition, you negate that a little bit. But if they slow you down and he can really lock into a guy, he's tough. And he's going to make, if Butler can do that, he'll make life miserable for whoever he's guarding, whether it's James Blackman, Yogi Ferrell. I expect Butler to move him around a little bit defensively, kind of switch him off a little bit. But if you get in transition, if you're IU, you negate that a little bit. I'm really fascinated to see which team can kind of get the game going in their direction.
Yeah, and clearly Indiana's going to try and get up and down, make this a fast game. And you know, one thing Indiana has struggled with in recent seasons is against the better defensive teams imposing its will, kind of getting the tempo to where it wants to go. And they've had trouble getting slogged down against teams like Butler. You know, I think if you look at the opponents Butler's played so far this year, the kind of the closest approximation would be that North Carolina game. You know, a team that likes to get up and down a little bit. You know, that game ended with Butler winning 74-66. How did that game go? I mean, how was Butler really able to impose their will in that game? Were they able to get it? Obviously, from the score, it looks like they were. You know, have they been good against their tougher opponents this year of getting the game at the pace they want it to be at?
Yeah, no question. They did do that against North Carolina. And frankly, I think North Carolina, you know, for a lot of their highly ranked recruits, I really do believe this Butler kind of hit them in the mouth a little bit. And North Carolina did not respond. You know, Butler made the game a physical game, and I think North Carolina's players just got kind of caught up in, you know, worrying about what Butler was doing instead of worrying about what they needed to do and stuff. So Butler really had that game controlled from the outset and stuff. But I do know the thing that Chris Holtmann is concerned about is that not only is IU good offensively, they're really kind of different in their attack than anybody that Butler has played. You know, IU doesn't, even though they have a little size, they don't come down and try to set it up for 2 6'10" guys, you know, down in the post or anything like that. Whereas some of the other teams Butler said, that has been kind of their modus operandi a little bit. So he's very concerned about that. The fact that, you know, that not only is IU obviously very good at what they do, they're a little different than what Butler has faced this year. And I think I need to throw one other thing in here, Jared, is that another thing where Butler's been a little bit fortunate, they are not a great free-throw shooting team. They're not horrible, but they're not really that good. They're around 66%. In fact, they were last in the Big East last year, and they're kind of trending in that direction again this year. So they're not a great free-throw team, but where they've gotten kind of lucky this year, kind of fortunate, is that they've played teams that are even worse free-throw shooters than they are. You know, if you look at their stats, they're even worse. That's not going to be the case on Saturday. I mean, IU generally is going to hit around 75%, as you know. So that's another area where I think Butler has to be very, very careful on Saturday. So if IU gets the line a lot, I think that's something that really plays to IU's advantage.
Yeah, and when you look at where Indiana has really struggled on defense, I mean, it'd be pretty easy to say everything, but, you know, especially, you know, cleaning up the glass and just giving up easy buckets, whether it's, you know, stopping dribble penetration or stopping big guys inside. You know, does Butler have the personnel to be able to take advantage of that in the half court? Do they have guards who can get to the basket off the dribble and or anybody in the post that can play with their back to the basket and really take advantage of Indiana's lack of interior post-defense skill?
I like Louisville, dude. I can tell you that.
A few teams do.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Louisville's pretty good. I wouldn't be surprised to see them playing in Indianapolis the first weekend in April, to be honest with you. I really like their team a lot. You know, and again, that's kind of the contrasting styles a little bit. I would say the answer to that is, you know, Butler can score in transition. I don't want to understate that. You know, they do have big things transition, and that's where Keelan Martin has been a big, big help and stuff like that. He has really opened up the floor with the way he can shoot the ball. It's kind of given us missing offense on the bench. But one of the areas where Butler has kind of struggled is, or I don't know if struggles are right word, but an area where I don't think they're going to hurt IU is kind of what I mentioned earlier. Cameron Woods, very good defensive player, but unless it's a dunk, he's really not a factor for a 6'9 guy offensively. Andrew Kravitz is a guy that I think has some nice inside moves, some very nice inside moves, post moves. I personally would like to see him use those a little bit more and stuff. He's kind of a wild card in this game because I do think he could step up and have a pretty big game for Butler. But again, he's a guy that, you know, while he certainly has not played poorly this year and stuff, yeah, sometimes I personally wish he was a little more aggressive in some of his moves to the basket and stuff. So another potential wild card is a guy that I know your IU fans are familiar with, Austin Etherington. He's at times this year, he's really given the team some energy off the bench. Has been able to rebound a little bit and also step outside and shoot the three. But there's also been times, including the Tennessee game, where he has struggled and stuff. And he's another guy that I think if Butler's going to win this game, they've got to get a little bit full. I'm not saying he's got to score 15 points, but he's got to come off the bench and provide a little bit because Butler is not very deep and stuff. And I guess I'm sitting here mentioning all these things. Butler is not doing well, yet they're still 8-2. So that tells you they're a pretty resourceful bunch and stuff, but I guess to answer your question, if I'm Tom Crean, I'm game planning this game. I don't think Butler can hurt my team near as much, you know, off transition as maybe some other teams that I've played this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, Austin Etherington. You mentioned him. Obviously, Indiana fans will be interested to see him. And what you described is basically what we've seen from him. You know, you don't quite know what you're going to get from him. Sometimes his minutes off the bench are productive and other times they aren't. You know, it's nice to see him, you know, part of the rotation and contributing. Kellen Dunham, he's a guy that Indiana fans are obviously familiar with from the state, you know, renowned as a good shooter, probably, you know, at least according to the stats, the best, most productive overall offensive player for Butler. How important is he to what Butler wants to do offensively, and how important is it for Indiana to, you know, because Indiana's had trouble locating shooters at times this year too. How important is it to make sure he gets located and doesn't get open looks?
Hugely important. Hugely important. Butler's over the last 2 years, really, when he struggles, and if you go back and look at the stats and just look at the way Butler plays, when he struggles offensively, Butler usually struggles. I mean, if you talk to every opposing coach, who's the one player on Butler that you have to account for offensively, it's Dunham. And he got off to a great start at Tennessee, for instance, was really shooting lights out. Tennessee made some adjustments in the second half and they had put a little more pressure on him. And also kind of an interesting thing here, a couple of the Tennessee players said after the game, they noticed he pump fakes too much and stuff. And I think they were on to something, quite frankly, because I do know Butler's worked on that a little bit this week. So I don't think you'll be seeing him pump fake enough. But he is hugely important. I mean, he's the one guy offensively, if you slow him down, you've got a pretty good chance to slow down Butler. So that's a great question. I don't think you can overemphasize enough what he means offensively to Butler.
Yeah, and in the two losses, you know, Butler lost to Oklahoma. Dunham was 2 for 6 from downtown, 3 of 10 on his 2-point field goal, 17 points, but not particularly efficient. And as you mentioned, the Tennessee game, he finished 4 of 11 from downtown, 1 of 3 on his twos. So again, you know, he's finished with 16 points, but not really an efficient 16 points. So I think
Jared, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but just to kind of elaborate on that, he was really good early and then really struggled in the second half. So when you talk about not an efficient 17 points, the points were not there when his team really needed them down the stretch. So that's again, just kind of gets back to what we're talking about. Butler really needs him to play well on Saturday.
Yeah. You know, and you may want him to keep shot faking, at least for this game, because the Hoosiers have been susceptible to going flying.
Oh, have they?
Shot
is that right?
Yeah,
is that right?
So,
okay.
Yeah, so he maybe
you're right. Maybe he'll do more shot faking.
Yeah, you know, for his benefit, he may want to wait one game before he stops. So I think the IU fans would like to see him not do that. So,
gotcha.
as we kind of wrap up here, I mean, how do you see this game going? I know it's, you know, kind of foolhardy to try and make predictions, you know, on games, because sometimes they go in ways different than what you think. But what do you see happening in this game? Again, it's hard to predict with the contrast of styles, but, you know, certainly you would expect one team to do a little better job of imposing its will on the other. That'll probably be the one who wins. Who do you see that being on Saturday?
Well, I think it's going to be really entertaining. I'm really looking forward to the game, and I like this event anyway. But I'm really looking forward to the game. This is my first year as the Butler, full-time Butler B-Rat. I was not around on a regular basis back during those Final Four runs and stuff. But during my years in Indianapolis, one thing I have kind of learned is, you know, you kind of underestimate Butler at their own peril, because there have been so many times when I thought, they're done. There's no way they're going to win this game. You know, there's no way they're going to be able to accomplish that this year. And they find a way to get it done. I think, not to upset the many IU fans that are listening to this year, but I think if you force me to pick, and I am not a gambling man, but if you force me to pick, I would probably pick Butler around a 68-65 game, mm-hmm. or something like that, just because Butler has shown. And I think Seth Davis tweeted it out this year. You know, he said, I'll go with the defense every time. And I think Butler is definitely a better defensive team at this point. I don't think there's any question about that. But I will also add, if IU were to win this game, it would not surprise me in the least. And on a personal level, and again, I'm not as close to it as you are, but IU is a team that really intrigues me, because I think they're the kind of team we could be saying come March, hey, they're pretty good. And we also might look back and say, geez, you know, what the heck was that? I mean, they are truly a team that could go either way, in my opinion, and stuff. That's kind of what makes them interesting to me and stuff. But I do think, getting back to what we talked about earlier, if they're making shots, you know, they not only could win, they could win handily if they get on a roll, just because of the way they play. I mean, if they went out there and ended up winning like 70-55 or something like that, I would not be surprised. So, but just because Butler does play so well defensively, and I do think they will have a little more success, not a lot, but a little more success getting the game into the style they want, I'm going to go with them very, very slightly. But again, don't be pointing fingers at me, IU fans, and saying, oh, you blew it. If they win, because, like I said, if IU gets the game going their way with the way they could shoot, it wouldn't surprise me if they wanted a blowout. But I'll stick with going with Butler about 68-65 right now.
You know, if Indiana could hold anybody to 55 points, I wouldn't need any presents for Christmas. That would be it. Just a game a game to see some defense like that. You know, you mentioned, you know, IU and they're intriguing. They're probably a more fun team. I mean, I obviously love them, and I'm so passionate about them, but they're probably a more fun team to watch from afar, because you can just kind of tune in and see the offense, and the offense is spectacular. You know, on a game-by-game basis, the defensive breakdowns give you gray hairs, but, you know.
I definitely believe that.
So as one final question, and I certainly don't want to get into the Brad Stevens to IU stuff, because that's just so out there and not even really a realistic thing at this point, but I am intrigued. You know, obviously we went through something in Indiana, you know, God, what is it, 13, 14 years ago, however long, where, you know, a legendary coach, Bob Knight, left, and his shadow has long kind of hovered over the program. And certainly Brad Stevens never had the success and the longevity Coach Knight had, and he left under very different circumstances, but I'm curious how much his shadow, his impact, still kind of hovers over the Butler program. And is it, you know, and if so, is it a positive? Is it something that, you know, the coaches since then have had trouble reconciling? What is that kind of situation like at Butler now?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I hadn't really thought of it like that. That's an interesting, I'm kind of interested in the way you put that. He is certainly respected, and he is, I use this word lightly, but it with a lowercase g, he is kind of viewed as, look, there's a guy over there. There's no question he's a rock star. Maybe that's a better term to use. He's definitely still a rock star at Butler. And if he had, you know, said tomorrow, I'd like to come back, I'm sure they'd accommodate him. But
I'll jump in real quick. We are in Indiana, so calling a legendary basketball coach a god, that's okay. There are more gods than rock stars in the state of Indiana.
Good point. You said it better than I just did, absolutely. But having said that, and I think he does get back to a little bit of the way his departure went down, there is not that sense amongst Butler fans, who, by the way, even with the school's success, just because it's a small private school, they don't have near the as large a fan base as IU does and stuff. And their success does not go back as far as IU does. So it's a little different situation. But I do get a sense, I don't get the sense that, from IU fans, or some of them, I still think there's some lingering resentment how that all went down. And it's been 14, 15 years and stuff. And I don't get that sense at all at Butler. I don't think it's held over Chris Holton's head or now it may have been held over Brandon Miller's head. And I know some people have said, one of the worst things that happened to Brandon Miller was he had to follow Brad Stevens. So it may have been a little bit of a factor there. But with the year removed and the fact that the team is off to a good start, I don't get that sense at all. But having said that, if he were to call Barry Collier tomorrow and say, hey, I want to come back, I think it's fair to say there would be a rather large celebration outside of Hinkle Fieldhouse, if that were the case. Definitely, that's an interesting question. I had not really thought of it like that and stuff. But I do not get a sense that, while there's a lot of love and respect for Brad, I don't think it's hanging over this coaching staff or anything of that nature and things. And maybe that's just because of a year removed and because of Butler's success, and also the fact that, that they've got their own issues to deal with, as far as the Brandon Miller and Chris Holton situation right now.
Yep. Well, it's going to be an interesting game on Saturday. I know Indiana fans have been greatly looking forward to it, because it is Butler and because it represents a big opportunity for Indiana to get a resume-building win that it needs. And obviously for Butler, it represents the same because they have NCAA tournament hopes. And, of course, it's always nice for Butler, I'm sure, to go up against Indiana and to beat Indiana. So a lot on the line on Saturday. Be a lot of fun. Michael Pointer, thank you very much. Best place for fans to follow you, connect with you, is that Twitter, at Michael Pointer?
That is correct. Yeah, just add Michael Pointer, all one word. And obviously, you can always go to IndyStar.com as well. So any clicks or any follows would be very much appreciated.
Perfect. And we will be hoping that your secondary prediction of 70 to 65 is the one that proves true, not the
70 to 55. Yeah. I'll tell you what, Jared, real quick before you let me go, you talked me into it. The more I thought about it, IU holding the team to 55 is probably not realistic. So we'll go 80 to 65 for the secondary.
Oh,
how about that?
We'll go
with that. But it would still be an IU victory. It would still be an IU victory.
Hey, 65 points. I'll take 65. No presents for that either. I'm fine. Give me 65.
I think if you hold Butler 65, you got a good chance to win. I'll put it like that. But it's going to be an interesting game. I agree with you. I'm really looking forward to it. I think the whole day is going to be interesting. I think it's going to be two good games, and I think all four of the teams involved are very, very intriguing and stuff. But this Butler IU game is definitely going to be intriguing, I think.
Yep, it will. We look forward to watching. Mm-hmm. All right, Michael, well, have yourself a wonderful day, and hopefully we'll be able to talk to you on a future episode.
Anytime. Glad to do it.
All right. Take care. Thank you for listening to this episode of Podcast on the Brink. If you enjoyed this episode, if you've enjoyed past episodes, please consider giving the show a rating or a review on iTunes. We would very much appreciate it. And don't forget, as soon as IU's game with Butler is over, as soon as any IU game is over for that matter, go to assemblycall.com/live, join us for the postgame show, and then of course, come to insidethehall.com, check out The Minute After by Ryan Carrazza, and all of the postgame video that gets uploaded almost as soon as it's taken. Those are your two best sources on the web for postgame IU coverage. We hope you'll join us. All right, everybody, thank you again for listening. Let's go Hoosiers. Hopefully the boys can get a big win on Saturday in Indianapolis.